Well, I've given the talk this evening. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be free? Now, we're going through the Gospel of John, and the last time we looked at John's Gospel was really about a month ago when Ben was taking us through the verses just before these. And what we found was happening, that disputes are taking place over who Jesus is. And he had just made in those earlier verses the claim that he is the light of the world. This was in verse 12. Whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And Ben told us this, the story of Cuthbert, if you remember Cuthbert. If not, you can probably listen to it online. Cuthbert's story of being living in the light of Jesus. We read that some came to believe in the Lord Jesus and some didn't. And we carry on from there with verse 31 this evening. Verse 31 states that to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I won't ask you to put your hands up, but how many would like to be free? Do you want to be free to do whatever you wanted to do? I think we might all have a tendency to like that, to be free, to do what we want. I think we're totally aware these days, aren't we, that today's society is desperately trying to tell us something like that, doesn't it? Be true to yourself. You can do it. You can be whatever you want to be. You can be free. I don't know if you ever think of something like, if you could do anything you could, anything you wanted, what would you actually do? That's the first question on the children's sheets. What would they actually do if you were allowed to do anything? But what does freedom actually mean? Well, the Oxford Dictionary defines freedom like this. This was the simple Oxford Dictionary for me. The power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants. Or an alternative definition, the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. The act, the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants. But how? Sounds good. But how do we get it? How do we get true freedom? Can we really be free to do what we like? Even if we could, can we do it? As that definition says, do we have the power to act as we like? Now, if you're like me, you might like to go and watch Wales play rugby or football. But unless I've got a ticket, unless you've got a ticket, a valid ticket at that, you won't be able to go and watch the match live anyway. You just can't do it. It's a simple example, I know. But in that sense, we're not free. We cannot just do what we want to do. We can't walk into Tesco's, get all our groceries, and then just walk out again. You can't do it. We're not free to do that. There are certain rules which govern our society, which we are to obey. We're not free to do as we like. Perhaps you like traveling. Perhaps you'd like to go and visit somewhere, whenever, wherever you please. But it's not that straightforward, is it? You need finance, you need time, you need health, you'll need transport. There's all sorts of other considerations that come in. We're just not free to do as we please. And the definition also says perhaps to speak. Do we have the power to speak as we like? Well, we're told we've got free speech. But you try saying something that society doesn't agree with, we'll find out we're not free. I think Tim mentioned it this morning. Scotland has just passed this new hate crime law. And it just illustrates that we're not free to do as we please. It's whether you agree with it or not. We're not free to do as we please. The thing with freedom is it has consequences. Freedom to do as we please has consequences. Because what you want to do may not be what somebody else wants to do. Perhaps in the family, perhaps with your friends. The result, you argue, you have arguments, friction, conflict, to one degree or another. And it's all over the world. You just have to look at your newspapers, listen to the news, listen to social media. We are not free to do what we like. Freedom can actually lead to problems. Rather than being free, it actually causes problems. We may, as the other part of the definition says, we may not be imprisoned, but we may not consider ourselves slaves in the definition sense, although sadly in this world there are many who are in slavery, and in fact even in this country. I found a couple of, there were anonymous quotes which might highlight what it means to be free. I think these perhaps give a different slant on freedom. I think a better idea what freedom might mean. The first one says this, it'll come up on the screen. Freedom is not the right to do as you please. It is the liberty to do as you ought. And there's another version, come up on the screen. No man or no person has a right to do as he pleases unless he pleases to do right. So putting those two together, we get perhaps a different definition of freedom. Freedom, true freedom, then, is being free to do what is right and not just to please ourselves. But if we're not free, then we are enslaved. If we're not free, the opposite of that is we are enslaved. And you might be thinking, well, that's a bit of a strong way of putting it. You may well argue that, okay, we're not completely free, but on the whole, we are. On the whole, we are. But that's not how Jesus looks at freedom in these verses. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at these verses in three ways. They'll come up on the screen. We're going to look at Jesus's claim, first of all, then the people's response, and then Jesus's challenge afterwards. So Jesus's claim. First, next slide. What did Jesus claim? Well, this is what he said in verses 31 and 32. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's Jesus' claim. And it's quite a bold claim. To know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what is going on here? What is Jesus telling us? Well, what he's not telling us, as we've hinted at, Jesus is not saying you will know your truth, and your truth will set you free. He's not saying, oh, be true to yourself, follow your dreams, do your own thing. As we've just noted, you can't, even though perhaps this is what society is trying to tell us and encourage us. I want to be whatever. If I put my mind, or if you put your mind to it, you can do this, you can do that. And really, it's not true, is it? It's not true. If it does work out, it's only because you could have done it in the first place. You had the ability physically or mentally to do it in the first place. We are not free, even though we might think we are. So what is this freedom that Jesus is offering us? Well, as we said, leading up to this point in John's Gospel has been the discussion over who Jesus is, his authority, and what it means to follow him, to be his disciples. And Jesus has challenged, or has been challenged, by the Jewish religious leaders over his authority. So let's answer the question then. What is this truth that sets us free, the truth that Jesus is teaching? Well, it's quite simply, the truth is the gospel. And that simply says that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. That's the truth. That's Jesus. That's what he came to this world to do, to die for our sin, so that we can be forgiven. And you might think, well, how does that actually set us free? Well, it sets us free from the penalty of sin. It sets us free because sin has no hold on us. It sets us free because of the promise of eternal life with God in heaven. It sets us free because we are clothed in Jesus' righteousness. It sets us free because our sins are forgiven. They're forgiven. Not trying to save ourselves, not thinking that we're okay. We need to be forgiven. And I've picked out a few references just to confirm this. There's quite a few I could have used. So bear with me as I read through these scriptures that confirm these things. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. That was with the paralyzed man. Luke 24, verse 47. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 2, verse 38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Next slide. Thank you. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Colossians 1, 14. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Have we got it? It's abundantly clear, isn't it? The truth is Jesus is teaching. The truth is the gospel that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. It's that forgiveness that sets us free. And we can be forgiven because Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. So hold on to the truth, Jesus says. Hold on to my teaching. Persevere. Hold on to Jesus. Jesus is the truth. That's Jesus' claim. So how do the people respond? How do they respond? Well, we see in verse 33, they said this. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? You think, never been slaves? What about Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medes and Persians, and now the Romans? How shall we be set free? Is this what they're referring to? Or could it be that in being Abraham's descendants, they consider themselves spiritually free, God's chosen people? Is that what they were thinking? Because as descendants of Abraham, the Jewish people here felt spiritually confident. And to be told they were slaves strikes at the heart of their confidence. Because in verse 35, Jesus says, a slave has no permanent place in the family. But Jesus is not referring to their political history or even their lineage in being Abraham's descendants. He tells them in verse 34, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now we all sin. But a slave to sin? Perhaps you've never thought of it like that. See, the problem with us is sin has lost its true meaning. Sin has become just a bit of being a bit naughty, not something serious to worry about. But the Bible tells us that sin is a rejection of God. That is serious. See, we want to rule ourselves rather than have God rule us. That's freedom, people say. True freedom is ruling ourselves, doing whatever we want. That's freedom. But as we said, it isn't, is it? In fact, we actually become slaves to the things we want. We actually become ruled by our own desires. If you're desperate to get on in your career, whatever your career world is, in your work, if you want to get on, you become a slave to your work ethic. You can't become a slave to the effort you need to put in to reach and attain where you want to get to. If you're interested in sport, if you want to play for a particular team or get better at a particular discipline, then you have to exercise, you have to get yourself fit. You become a slave to the routine to attain your goal, your desire. And you may well be enslaved to habits you actually enjoy. You enjoy doing them, and in that sense, you love your slavery, because that's exactly what you want to do, but it pushes God out of the picture. Sadly, we can be slaves to an addiction to some harmful substance or something similar. In other words, become dependent on what we replace God with. We become slaves of whatever our heart desires. But the Jewish people here, they seem to be making excuses to try and justify themselves. And let's all be honest, we can do that as well. In the culture and society of their day, slaves were quite commonplace, and they had no place in the actual family. We see that in verse 35. And Jesus contrasts the slave to a son. The slave cannot set himself free, but the son can set the slave free. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 36, he is the son, because God is his father. So if Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed. And Jesus can do this because he is not a slave to sin. In fact, he became our sin when he died on the cross. So this is the truth that sets you free and brings you into God's family. Freedom to be what God meant us to be. That is the important thing. Freedom to be what God meant us to be. But the Jewish people, they're still arguing. They're still arguing about being Abraham's descendants. In fact, in verse 37, Jesus agrees. He says, yes, you are Abraham's descendants, but that doesn't excuse them. And we can be, again, we can have these excuses. Oh, I go to church. I was brought up to go to church. My parents are believers. They went to church. I go to Newtown Evangelical Church. Yeah, I'm okay. But in verse 40, we read, even though the Jewish people were claiming being Abraham's descendants, they are ready to kill Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 39, if they were Abraham's children, then they would do what Abraham would do. So to be Abraham's children means faith and obedience to what Abraham believed, not merely the bloodline. So the point of these verses is to say that physical descent from Abraham, which meant so much to the Jewish people, is no guide to their closeness to God. It's no guide to their faith in God. And that's the same for us. Turning up to Newtown Evangelical Church, turning up, doesn't tell us how close you are to God. Mustn't use it as an excuse. And then Jesus says that Abraham is not their true father, but they're doing the works of another, their true father. And I'm sure at this stage they're either getting confused or they're getting angry. And yes, they were getting angry. But in verse 41, their argument seems to change. It's as if they realize Jesus is correct when he's pushing although they're descended from Abraham, that's not the important thing. So they now argue that God is their father. And they make some claim about not being illegitimate children. It's a popular belief in many faiths today, isn't it, that, oh, we are all God's children, whatever we believe. But Jesus clearly says here that only those who hold on to his teaching know the truth and are set free. Holding on, the slide that just reminds us of this, holding on to Jesus' teaching is the same as holding on to him. Not only he has the truth to set us free, he is the truth that sets us free. We are not the illegitimate children, they said. You might think, well, that's a strange turn of phrase there. Perhaps it could be that perhaps the religious leaders are aware of Jesus' birth. We don't know. Are they having a go at him for that? Or are they just objecting to the fact that Jesus refuses to allow them to use Abraham as their father? Whatever. But they are not responding very well. So finally then, the challenge from Jesus. And he simply says this. Jesus said, the reason you do not hear, or the reason you do not believe, is that you do not belong to God. You do not belong to God. Because if they do not believe him, it's because they don't know the Father. In fact, this has already been covered earlier in the chapter, back in verse 19. And Jesus saying, if they did know the Father, then they would love Jesus. 1 John 5, verse 1. Illustrates that. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Well, if you think that being told they are not truly Abraham's descendants was bad enough, in verse 44, you belong to your father, the devil. What? Excuse me? You belong to your father. These are Abraham's descendants, and now Jesus is telling them they belong not to Abraham, but to their father, the devil. Because they actually are identifying with the character of the devil. That actually, in a sense, proves it. The devil is a murderer. We read they wanted to kill Jesus. The devil is the father of lies. There's no truth in him whatsoever, which is why they don't believe the truth that Jesus tells them. And the verse actually explains why people don't believe Jesus is because they are of their father, the devil. And that does not go down well. Jesus speaks the truth. Jesus is the truth. And Satan hates that. Satan will say, don't you believe that rubbish he's telling you? It's not true. That's how Satan tries to work in people's hearts and minds. And you might be thinking, I don't know what goes through your mind when you hear these things, but you might be thinking, oh dear, you don't still believe in a devil, do you? Haven't you grown up? Haven't you matured? Haven't you stopped believing stories to frighten children? You don't believe in someone who is fiery red with horns and a tail ready to drag you down into the boiling pot of hell? Yeah, I don't. You're quite right. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. In the same way, I don't believe that God is a benevolent old man with a long white beard sitting on a throne in the clouds. But I do believe in spiritual beings that are far beyond my imagination. See, the devil, or Satan, is quite happy with us thinking he's like that. Because that's not the truth. He works behind the scenes, sort of guerrilla tactics, sneaking around, looking to see who he can devour. We're warned about that in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be alert. And of sober mind, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I've put a little story in here. I was come in and hide, whether I'd mention it or not, because I think I heard this when I wasn't even 10 years old. It was a long time ago. It was about a marriage that had gone wrong. And there was somebody who was giving a testimony. The married couple, both were believers, doing okay in their walk with the Lord. Then the marriage started to fall apart. And why? Well, the husband explained. He said this: one night, Satan entered the house. He came in under the kitchen door in the form of a mouse. Now, that's all I remember, because I was young. But that little mouse caused all sorts of mayhem within the relationship, caused arguments, caused friction, and sadly, the marriage went downhill from there on. A little mouse sneaked in, and the way they responded to the little mouse caused all the problems. That's how Satan works. He sneaks in when we don't expect him. That's why the verse says, be alert, be on your guard, be of sober mind. See, if we don't believe in spiritual beings, well, we can't believe in God either, can we? But Satan is real, and that's why we need the truth in Jesus. Now, the clear implication here is that if you're not part of God's family, living under his rule, then you are living under Satan's rule. And that is not popular. The Jewish people at that time didn't like it. I'm sure there's people sitting here this evening that don't like it either. But that's the truth. If you're not living for God, you're living for Satan without even realizing it. Not popular. We're nearly there. Jesus challenges them, even goes on to challenge them to prove he was guilty of sin in verse 45. And they couldn't. So why don't you believe me, he says. If you can't prove me guilty of anything, why don't you believe me? Well, the answer is in verse 47. The reason you do not hear, the reason you do not believe, is that you do not belong to God. And how do we belong to God? Well, we've already had the answer back in verse 31. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, being a Christian is not freedom to do what we like. It's freedom from the consequences of sin, so that eternal life in glory with the Lord is guaranteed. This freedom doesn't mean we stop sinning, doesn't mean we stop being a sinner, but we are rescued from its consequences for eternity. We're forgiven. That's the freedom that Jesus offers. And we're set free because Jesus took our sin when he died on the cross. And it's worth repeating. He paid the price that I should pay. He paid the price that you should pay. That's what last Easter weekend was all about. But the good news is it didn't end on the cross, because Jesus is a living Savior. And he's our guarantee, because his word is truth. And the truth will set you free. We said at the beginning, true freedom is being free to do what is right, not just to please ourselves. And how we get that true freedom? Well, we can only do what is right when we put God first in our lives by having our sins forgiven by Jesus, sins paid for by Jesus. We are free when we know we have that inheritance that can never spoil or fade, knowing we will be with Jesus for eternity in glory. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are you free? Amen.